Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Gateway Rescue Mission, meeting the physical and spiritual needs of the homeless right here in Jackson, Mississippi. Check us out at www.gatewaymission.org.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday night to this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here and hanging out. So tonight, a couple of things. One, the first thing is what I thought was great content, or a great content idea from Brandon Marcello. I really enjoyed this piece that he called What Keeps SEC Fans Up at Night. I really liked it, or What Keeps Every SEC Fan Base Up at Night. And I'm telling you, I really, really liked it. But I really did not like the Ole Miss submission. In fact, I hated it and think that it is very, very wrong. And if you guys are bothered by this particular thing about Ole Miss, then you are doing your fandom. And I don't like telling you how to fan or telling you how to feel. But if this is what you are worried about, if this is what's keeping you up at night, you're doing this wrong. And we're going to talk about things that actually should keep you up at night as a fan entering the 2024 season. We've got that also. I mean, the news that, you know, it's kind of old news by now at this point with the way the news cycle works, but we have not been live since there's been an arrest and one that could be a significant loss, depending on how it shakes out, to the Ole Miss defensive line room. So we're talking about a couple of those things, as well as your comments on this edition of the Rebel Report presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries in life are unavoidable. We hope they don't happen to you, but sometimes they just do. And when it does, I want to offer you an opportunity to get legal advice and legal guidance from the best. The Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm in Saltillo, Mississippi, has got you covered for all of your personal injury and also small business and contract disputes as well. So if you have a personal injury situation, or maybe a small business situation or contract disputes, the best legal advice that you can get is in Saltillo, Mississippi. If you're in this state, though, even if you're not in Saltillo, if you're in this state, DJ's got you covered. The Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm, bringing you tonight's and every edition of the Rebel Report. Don't forget to follow me, social media. Wherever you use it, except for Instagram, I guess. I'm not on Instagram, and I think that's good for my health. At Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. Like the video if you haven't already. Leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. Subscribe if you haven't already. And also, if you have not subscribed to the podcast, you should just search Rebel Report wherever you get them and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. All right, here we go. The lead topic tonight, what should keep Ole Miss fans up at night? And again, I really enjoyed this bit of content from Brandon Marcello. It's a very creative idea, and in this time of year, it's hard to get creative. This is, you know, the late summer after the College World Series is over. That becomes a very monotonous time as well. But as teams are transitioning from camp to game week, and especially when, you know, this is an Ole Miss focused production, and Ole Miss is playing Furman in week one, it's really hard to just hammer home, you know, content, 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 content that's compelling without it getting repetitive. And so I really appreciated this. And some of the submissions you got were things like Arkansas, recruiting inside of the state of Arkansas, with Georgia, what keeps Georgia fans up at night, Kirby Smart's longevity, how long is he actually going to be at Georgia? There's been long rumors about how he's not going to be around much longer in coaching, that he's made a lot of money, he's having great success, that he might get out. Stuff like that. A lot of good stuff. And the way he compiled this is he got a submission from somebody that covers the teams from the 24/7 site. Marcelo is obviously a national guy 24/7. So these are not his submissions. These are submissions from the from an individual that covers said team for 24/7. And Ole Miss's is one that I just profoundly disagree with and basically every level. Now, I'm not going to say who the submission was. I'm not like calling somebody out just because I disagree. And you guys know me. I don't want to advance myself by calling others out, especially local media that's just trying their best. I just completely and totally disagree with this. I'm not trying to bring anybody down. I just think it's wrong. And so I'll leave that out. This is you can seek it out if you want. It was on CBS. It's on 24/7. You can find it if you want to read it. But here is the Ole Miss submission. Ole Miss fans, what keeps Ole Miss fans up at night? Lane Kiffin and other jobs. Stemming from his recent success at Ole Miss, the article reads, and well-documented coaching journey before it, there's always a widely held assumption that he will take another job at a more prestigious football program. That reached a fever pitch when Kiffin's talks with Auburn came to light in 2022. Ole Miss is not a blue-blood football program, though it aspires to be in this new era. Therefore, many still believe that Ole Miss is just a stepping stone for coaches of the caliber of Kiffin. Though Ole Miss is in a better position than it's ever been as a program, many fear that it will only take an SEC title, deep college football playoff run, or national championship to finally put that speculation to rest when one particular head coach is on a visible hot seat. Some fear that Kiffin's name will be thrown into the mix and that the situation or the institution will throw the kitchen sink to get him to leave Oxford. Another issue that keeps Ole Miss fans up at night is that high school recruiting, particularly this upcoming 2025 class, has left a lot to be desired, especially with massive decommitment blows in recent weeks. That said, when evaluating Kiffin's recent roster-building methods, it's been abundantly clear that a highly touted transfer will be better off than any highly touted high school prospect in this program. Kiffin has operated like an NFL GM in terms of identifying talent, evaluating, and fitting needs regardless of age. Well, that last part's a little bit contradictory, but I'm also going to give the writer here a pass on that last part. I would assume, based on the way it's worded, that this was submitted weeks ago, many weeks ago, because they have actually been on quite a good run in recruiting over the last few weeks. They now have 11 blue chip prospects of their 16 commitments. That's a 68% blue chip ratio in the class. That's quite good. That is well above the 50% ratio that you try to reach that only, I don't know, a dozen and a half programs in college football reach from a roster totality perspective. So let's put that aside because I feel like that's old. If that's not old, it's very wrong. But assuming that it's old after they had a recent string after they had the past string of decommitments that they have completely and totally made up for since then. Putting that aside, here's my issue with this, though. If you're actually worried right now on August 20th that the thing that you're worried about the most with Ole Miss football is Lane Kiffin getting or leaving for another job, then you're doing it wrong. This is the most anticipated Ole Miss football season since at least 1970, and probably more likely the most anticipated season since before my father was born. We're talking pre-integration times, the last time that an Ole Miss football team had this kind of real expectations and hype and attention being paid to it going into a season. The very last thing you should be worried about right now, and the very last thing that most, if not every Ole Miss fan that I interact with on a daily basis, is about the actual football. And if it's not, if you are being, quote, kept up at night because of Lane Kiffin leaving or the possibility of him leaving, then you need to stop and focus on the actual football, because there are real actual football things to worry about, and there's real actual football about to be played, and there is a real actual chance. You like the repetition? It's done for effect. get some radio audience feedback that says I repeat myself too much. It's for dramatic effect. Anyway, there's a real actual chance that this is the most successful season that Ole Miss has had since my father was born. So if you are worried about it, stop, because there are actual football things to worry about. But talking about Kiffin and other jobs right now before this season is only doing yourself a disservice. It's totally irrelevant right now. And the only way he were to get another job is if the team is really, really good, which is more important as we sit here on August 20th. So I thought of all things that could be talked about here, that is very, very low, if not on the bottom of things that you should be even thinking about or talking about right now with this Ole Miss football team and program. So a few things that should keep you up at night, quote unquote, in my opinion, number one is linebacker depth. Now, I know quarterback's a free space. We'll get to that in a second. But I don't think that I agree with some things I've seen about how they've got like real linebacker depth now. There's a chance that they do. I know that there's some talent there for sure, but it is very, very unproven right now at linebacker. Absent, I mean, you know, Kari Coleman, but is Kari Coleman a championship linebacker? We'll see if he can take that step forward. You know, Chris Paul was good at Arkansas. I think Dottery's a guy that everybody is raving about, but he hasn't really played a whole lot of football. Centurion Perkins has been moved outside. He's not necessarily playing a true linebacker anymore. And then after Pooh Paul, Chris Paul Jr. and Kari Coleman and Dottery, who is it? It's Tyler Banks. It's Tripp White, Raymond Collins. I mean, it's a lot of unknown at linebacker, especially after the first couple of guys. So I'm frankly a little concerned about the depth that they have at linebacker. They have a chance to be good at linebacker, but depth is certainly a real concern and something that you should underline going into this season. Also, the free space, low-hanging fruit, quarterback. Will Jackson Dart protect himself in 2024? They expect to play 16 games. If he's going to play 16 games, he's got to do a better job of protecting himself. It's something that we've talked about a lot this offseason, but that is something that, especially after over the last couple of weeks, I've rewatched a few of their games from a year ago. And I mean, one of his best qualities, if not his best quality, is toughness. He's tough as hell and he's physical. But there are a lot of hits that he needs to stop taking. I mean, just very unnecessary. After you've run for a first down in a big game, just slide. Get on your butt. Don't take a hit. Throw the ball back to the ref and do it again. The LSU game, I see that there's a comment about it already. We'll get to that later. But the LSU game last year, as great as he played, and he was phenomenal in that game. He was outstanding. One of the best individual game performances from an Ole Miss quarterback in the history of the program. Not the best, but one of the best. He was unbelievable in that game. He needs to get down. So that would keep me up at night if I were you guys listening to this, is will he protect himself a lot better than he did a season ago? If they're going to play 16 games, he needs to, for sure. Running back is another position that you should be concerned about. Just because they haven't done it here. Bentley has not been a feature back. Parrish has, you know, had a really good season at Miami last year, but he's a very similar body type than Bentley, and he hasn't been a bell cow himself. You've got Amos, the transfer, and, you know, he's stepping up a level. He's moving up a level. What can he give you? That's a position of keeping you up at night concern as well. And then finally, of course, the offensive line. They started camp off, a little banged up there. Seems like they're getting healthier. The defensive line is apparently winning every day in camp, but is that because they are elite like Lane Kiffin thinks that they can be, or is the offensive line maybe a step behind where people hoped that they would be? Those are the things that should keep you up at night. Dart keeping himself healthy, linebacker depth, running back depth, and can one of those guys be a bell cow, or if they're going to do running back by committee, can they replicate the production that left with Judkins? Those are the things that should keep you up at night. You should not spend your season thinking about if Lane Kiffin's going to leave. Especially when, if they're in the middle of what's possibly a championship season, that kind of stuff's not creeping in anyway. The 2022 Ole Miss was not winning a championship. They weren't going to an Access Bowl. That's how the coaching search stuff can creep into something like that. As they're making a run to the playoff, if that's what's happening, that won't be a bother in the moment anyway. So ignore that for the time being. And then the other story, I mean, you guys know this story by now. Xavien Harris, Ole Miss's backup defensive lineman, was arrested on Sunday. The charges were on domestic violence and obstructing arrest. Those are the two charges. He, again, was booked early Sunday night. Lane Kiffin was asked about it yesterday in his press conference, said that they were aware of the arrest, gathering information, will not comment any further than that. This comes after last summer he was arrested on DUI as well as felony fleeing and other charges. He was able to go through like a deferral program, but that, ended as a result of this arrest as well. So on the surface, the charges, those are bad. It's a little bit different than even a DUI. I mean, almost had another player get a DUI this offseason. It's different than like a minor in possession or something like that. This is quite different and should be treated differently. However, it also should be Ole Miss should be very thorough with how they approach it. I had a friend text me, it just said, kick him off the team. And that is not what should happen right now. I know this is kind of old news, but still, that is not what should happen right now. They should be extremely thorough and careful as they gather information to figure out exactly what happened. It's a little bit different when a player gets a DUI, right? Because a police officer has, they get their blood alcohol. They have security cam footage and, things like that. It's a little bit easier to understand this happened or this did not happen. No details of the arrest have been released to this point. There's no way to truly make a judgment one way or the other. And especially when you have examples in the past of athletes being accused of something like this that ended up not being true. Now, you've also had athletes be accused of something like this that ended up being true. So what Ole Miss, I think what they're doing is they're being careful. They're making sure that they are very thorough in what they understand about what happened. A knee-jerk reaction to kick him off the team without understanding every detail and being sure about what happened would be a mistake. Not being thorough and not doing anything about this would also be a mistake. So, it's hard to just sit here and not have an opinion about charges that are, when people are charged and proven guilty of these charges, it is grotesque when things like that happen. There's no other way around it. It's disgusting. And so you hope that it's not true, frankly. You hope that this didn't happen. But until we know anything more, having an opinion one way or the other, I think would be a mistake on my part, because you've seen in the past media people come out hard against certain athletes only for the athletes to have been innocent of what happened, and creates a mess, to say the least. So that is out there. If he is unavailable, if he's removed from the team or whatever, that's a big blow. For the football team, because he was going to play and play a lot and be valuable for this team. So you hope that it did not happen. Having a strong opinion about this, I think, would be a mistake, considering how little we actually know about what happened. So There it is. We'll get to your comments after a couple of things. First, I do want to put this out there. I probably shouldn't do it this way, but I'm going to do it this way. The season's coming up. We're approaching quickly. And with this season and with any football season and with the growth that we've seen on this podcast over the summer when no sports were happening, the fall is going to be, and hell, the winter and beyond is going to be much larger than it is today. If you are interested at all in having your company be a part of this or your business or yourself be a part of this, please don't hesitate to reach out, because as the season goes and as the growth continues, the rates and the cost are going to change. They're going to go up. So if you want to get in on the ground floor, if you will, of this before things start changing, then now is the time. I've got space for probably one more at the moment. And so if you want to be that one, send me an email, Borky12@gmail.com or Borky@supertalk.fm, whichever one. Shoot me a DM. Let me know, because once the season starts, the cost associated will probably change. So get in now while you still can. The podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com. That's the website. If your Mississippi business is in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's tech in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out. ABSMS.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with local loan servicing and decision making. So if you need a loan, or if you have a loan through them and you need it serviced, it's not somebody that you'll hop on the phone with and talk to from out of state or Zoom out of state. It's somebody that you sit down with face to face, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, so to the comments we go. Anthony leads us off. Enjoy the show, man. Give me something to watch at 3 a.m. in Germany. God bless you, man. Hope you're doing well out there. Upset alert Saturday. You heard it here first. Georgia Tech takes down Florida State by 10-plus points. I hope so. I hope so. That would be such a great introduction to college football. It really would. I did see that Georgia Tech lost their starting tight end to injury earlier today. So that stinks. Although I think his replacement's a senior, so maybe the age will help him there. But yeah, I mean, I could not imagine a more perfect start to the college football season than Georgia Tech upsetting Florida State after Florida State went undefeated in the regular season last year in a really cool setting, which will be in Ireland. It'll be a really, really, really cool setting. And looking forward to watching that, obviously, on Saturday. But I really want Georgia Tech to win that game. I'm a big Yellow Jacket on Saturday. Hottie Toddy from Pascagoula. Good to see you, Jerry. Glad you're here. Georgia Tech plus 11.5. Book it. I like where your guys' heads are at. I like where your head's at. You worry about an early season Jackson Dart injury? That goes back to protecting himself. He has got there's only so much the coaches can do. He's got to do a better job of protecting himself. I would not be surprised also if schematically to do a really good job of protecting him through the first four games. Like when Kentucky comes to town, they're going to have to let loose a little bit. There's a lot of people that really like this Kentucky team. I'm not as convinced as them being like a playoff sleeper contender as some people are, but they will present big-time challenges for Ole Miss up front. They've got some skill dudes. It'll be a good football team. It's a solid program. So they'll have to kind of let loose then. But Ole Miss should, and I think will, make a conscious effort to really protect Dart and maybe even a guy like Trey Harris. Now, they're still going to throw him the football because they want to pad stats for awards and stuff like that. And also, that's just the best way to run your offense. But I do think that they're going to do a better job of protecting these guys this year than seemingly they have in years past. Running back past Bentley is a concern. I agree. I'm not worried at all about Bentley and what his ability says that he can do. He can be great. Now, what's it going to be like when his carries double? I don't know. We'll see. But I'm not worried about him at all. I'm with you, though. Behind him, there's some questions. The LSU game is what's going to keep fans up. I know many Ole Miss fans are confident, but the narrative seems to be Ole Miss has no chance in that game, and LSU will roll in Death Valley at night. That is, I mean, the narrative on that one's changing a lot. And like Josh Pate the other day, rightfully so, pointed out the schedule difference going into that game between LSU and Ole Miss. So LSU has South Alabama and a bye week before Ole Miss, and Ole Miss has Kentucky at South Carolina before LSU. That is a tough scheduling break for Ole Miss for sure. Regardless of the outcome of the USC game, that place is going to be nuts when Ole Miss comes to town. I am going to watch USC and LSU very, very, very closely, though, because I mean, I saw somebody put LSU in the playoff, and what about this roster and this team and the schedule makes you think that that's a playoff team? Maybe they become that, but there's no, other than just having a take for the sake of having a take, there's no on paper tangible reason to think that LSU is a playoff team. There's no tangible reason to point to. You can project things and just whatever, but there's no reason to think that today. Not to mention South Carolina gets almost a full month of prep for Ole Miss. Well, kinda. They get a couple of weeks. I mean, they do have Kentucky and LSU before they're at Akron in the bye week, but still. Later on time, I was like 1 minute late tonight. Just about 1 minute late. That's all it was. Ole Miss winning these road trips would be historic. Fayetteville is a nightmare. What if Arkansas is a pulse? It is a concern. What if Florida is still fighting? And that's the SEC, right? That's why, you know, for some reason people are knocking now, like, winning close. It's kind of a dumb thing to do, right? When Georgia wins close, when Georgia beats Auburn, and Auburn, I mean, just barely gets by Auburn. Oh, wow. Ooh, great win. Great win. That's tough to go there and win. Ole Miss does the same thing, and ooh, they got lucky. What the hell are you talking about? It is hard to win in the SEC. It is hard to win college football games. There are times where you're not going to have your A game. And oh, by the way, your opponent also has players on the team and like coaches and stuff like that. You're not going to win every game by 50 points. Like, Ole Miss's roster is significantly better than Arkansas's, basically in every way, shape, or form. But the only goal when you go to Fayetteville is to win. That's it. However you need to. Lane Kiffin's been really good at Ole Miss in close games and has been really good against teams that he's supposed to beat. Really good. And that should comfort you going into the season, but, I mean, you're going to see some of that as, let's see. They'll go to South Carolina and win by a touchdown. Oh, I don't know. Ole Miss it. Man, you're not going to get a team's A game every week. You're not going to have their full attention every week. Sometimes you just got to go take care of business, and that's going to happen to them this year, and people are going to stress out. National people are going to talk about how they're not that good or whatever bull, you know what, that they peddle. Winning is the goal. It's all that matters. Did I like Kiffin's tidbit on the Coke bottle? Absolutely. So I'm not a health nut by any stretch of the imagination. Frankly, I'm quite the opposite of a health nut. But when it comes to my child, and I say that after he had a donut for breakfast and a gigantic cookie after lunch today. But his mom and I pay really close attention to what we feed him. And we're not obsessive over it. Like, again, like he had a giant cookie and a donut today, right? So, you know, we let him live and have some fun. But when you look at some of the foods that we eat and that we give our kids, it's kind of insane. Like, I was at the park a few weeks ago, and with James, and there was a 2-year-old drinking straight up a bottle of Coke. Like, the parent was giving the child that. And I don't mean to be judgmental, but I have a feeling they're not quite aware of how much garbage is in that bottle, especially for a child. Look at, like, I'm going off into a rabbit hole, forgive me, but hey, I told you, I read the comments. Peanut butter, like Jif peanut butter, and the amount of crap, sugar and otherwise, is in that versus sitting right next to it, or at least in my grocery store, it's above it. What is actually peanut butter, which is just ground up peanuts and salt. And one tastes a little bit better, but not much. And one of them is just so much better for you. And they hide a bunch, you know, it's hard to seek out all the crap that is in our food. And it's a lot of crap. But once you kind of look into it, the alternatives are not much more expensive, if at all. And it's really easy to actually avoid all that stuff if you know what to look for. So we've done a really good job of doing that with him. I mean, things like applesauce, just standard applesauce, you would think that's healthy. No, it's not. It's pretty terrible what we eat on a daily basis without even being aware of it. So that kind of spoke to me on a personal level, him ripping on Coke for having 160% of your daily sugar intake in a 12-ounce bottle. But offensive line has to be great to take the next step. Can't scheme up everyone. Absolutely. The thought of 9-3 in the season being a failure could significantly alter the future of the program, mainly under Kiffin. It's time to win now. It could. It could. The only thing, knock on wood, that would change that is injuries. Injuries would change that if they had a lot of them. Any chance Ole Miss ever plays in that Dublin game in the future? Oh, I hope. I really hope that they try to do that, although they canceled the home-and-home with USC, which just bums me out. I mean, and it got replaced with, what, Georgia State? Whew, great. Good choice, everybody involved. Would just can't wait to spend time talking about Georgia State with you guys instead of USC. But that would be amazing for so many different reasons. And I would go. I would do everything in my power to go. You're not going to worry about injuries, not going to stress yourself about something you cannot control. If something happens, that sucks, but it happens, yeah. What is the worst-case scenario where Ole Miss simply underachieves? They lose in Baton Rouge, and then because that obviously it's a losable game, and they turn around and get snuck up on by Oklahoma. Like, they lose in Baton Rouge and lose focus, and then Oklahoma beats them, and then the wheels fall off completely. At this point, it's because the offensive line and linebackers aren't as good as we think if they simply underachieve. What would the fallout be? That's a good question. If they just simply underachieve, what would the fallout be? I don't know. I do not know. I do think that it's going to be harder to raise money in that scenario, a lot harder to raise money. Which games will I be attending this year? I haven't decided yet. I have not decided yet. I do think that I will be there for Oklahoma. I think my fraternity pledge class is doing like a reunion thing that weekend. So I think that if I can work it out, I will be at that one. I'm going to take my son to the Georgia Southern game. So there will not be immediate post-game content for that one. We'll probably do it when I get home super late that night. But I chose that game because, one, I don't have to break the bank to get real tickets to go to that one. And two, it won't be super hot. And like, they'll do all the lights and the fireworks and the drone shows and all that stuff to keep them engaged. So definitely going to that one as well. Otherwise, I don't know. Because quite frankly, being at the game, like in the press box, adds nothing. There's no real benefit to being there other than to say that you've been there. Now, for the writers, there is a benefit to being there. But for somebody that does what I do, which is like, you know, video audio content, there is no benefit to me being there other than to, hey, look at me, I'm in the stadium. Having sat in press boxes, I promise you, you know more about what's going on in the game and you see more than the people in the press box do. It's the worst seat in the stadium. Often you're obstructed. You don't have real access to replay or anything like that. And what I can't do after the game is fire up post-game podcast. Because that's a work area and people are working and I can't do this and talk to you guys in the workstation. So I have to either wait for it to clear out or find a different space. And it's just, I learn more at home than I do in the press box. I can do stuff like this with you guys from the office here, as opposed to there. And then on top of that, I have a 4-year-old. So I don't know. I do not know. I like to go to football games. I really do. But I wonder what the benefit really is. Because, again, I'm telling you, Hey Dad and I talked about this the other day. He'll have people that will, like, tweet at him or text him, like, hey, what do you think about this that just happened? And he's like, you're at home. You know more about it than me. Same thing with replays and injuries and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't know beyond those two. Oh, the Egg Bowl. I will definitely be at the Egg Bowl. 100% will be at the Egg Bowl. That is that for sure. There's a possibility we're doing something special with the radio show on that day. We'll see. LSU's offense has to take a step back. Jane Daniels were video game-like last year. They absolutely were. They were unprecedented. And, I mean, look at what he's doing so far in training camp. Ain't going to lie, sometimes you miss the mic in the morning show. I kind of do too, but logistically it would be impossible. It would be impossible to do that now for a lot of reasons. Aren't those visors Ole Miss players have been wearing during practice sick? Oh, man, they look so good, don't they? They really look good. Are they game legal, though? I have no idea. Is Malachi Nelson bad? Apparently so. Also, if God forbid you have to get interrupted during the game, you can pause it at home. Exactly. I don't know. And I'm going to try. I'm going to experiment with the idea of being live during games with you guys. What my fear is, as I've talked about with you guys before, is how many of you would actually hang on for 3.5 hours? Like, would it truly be worth it? I don't know if yet we are high enough subscriber-wise to make that a sustainable 3.5-hour broadcast. You know what I mean? So we'll do it for LSU because I think that is a road game that most people will be interested in, paired with there won't be that many of you there. Although I know a lot of Ole Miss fans travel to Baton Rouge, but I do think that will be the easiest one. Also, it's at night. So, you know, that will be easier. As a dad to do that one. So stuff like that. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's a good idea, but we'll see if it actually works. But we will do post-game after every game, except for Georgia Southern, because I'll be there. And I don't know what I'm going to do around Georgia yet, because I have to be at my idiot, very good and just awesome guy friend's wedding. So I don't know what that'll look like. We'll do something. I think it would be kind of fun to roll in from the wedding and have that game on and then fire up post game with like my tie all jacked up and stuff. And I don't know. We'll have to see. But anyway, you can test it out in one of these non-conference games to see if it's feasible. Might try it for Wake Forest it just depends on what I can do with this guy. That might not be a bad idea either. Give that a shot for Wake and see how that goes. That's really not a bad idea because very few people, I assume, will be traveling to that one. So anyway, we'll see. But in the meantime, you guys enjoy your week. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to like the video, leave a comment, all that good stuff. Reach out if you want your company's name a part of this. Now is the time. It'll only get harder from here. We'll see you Thursday. We'll see you Thursday night and talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.